Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. And just to let you know, too, we have not concluded our series on King Solomon, but because of the Christmas time of the year, God's been giving me these messages, but we will pick back up on the King Solomon series. Amen. But look at Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. The Bible says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The choir had no idea what I was going to be preaching on this morning, but it went right with the message. And I want to talk about Emmanuel. God is with us. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, I bet you'd help us. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would manifest himself as he already has through the songs. I pray, God, but now through the message, that you would make yourself clear to help each of us in the area of our life that we need your help. We need your guidance. We need your direction. We need your strength and your power. I pray, God, for every family, every home, every unit, every individual that's gathered here today and those who are watching Lord, on the internet live and those who will be watching later. But I pray, God, you help each of us in the way, God, we need to be helped. Father, if you don't show up, then this is all in vain. Our worship is for naught. But God, if you show up, then something's going to happen. Lord, something's going to change somebody. Well, not just for a few moments, but God, for a lifetime. So I ask God that you help us to put away any type of pretense or fakeness or phoniness. And God, help us to be real and help us, God, to be genuine. God, help us to be transparent. God, help us to be vessels who are yielding, Father, to your control and to your guidance and to your power and authority. For that, God, we'll thank him. And I pray, God, we leave it today. We'll all leave excited about serving a live, real, genuine Jesus, a God that's not dead, but a God that's here to help us every step of the way. And with that, God, we'll praise you. God, clean up my vessel and make me pliable. And with that, Father, we'll thank you too. Let it be a conduit that you can flow through to help somebody's life. And then, Lord, if there's anything else I'm leaving out, please, sir, meet that great need as well. For it's in your son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God is with us, Emmanuel. Just going to share a few thoughts, and we'll probably be done just in a few moments. But I always say that, and it seems not to go that way. But anyhow, the Bible says in verse number 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And I don't know about you, my dear friends, but that is good news for every person that's blood-bought, born again, and redeemed. To know that Emmanuel, which means God was with us, that he's here to help us every step of the way. He is there to guide us. He is there, my dear friends, to give us victory after victory after victory. But now what happens oftentimes is as God is trying to guide us, we're not heeding his instructions nor following his advice. But my dear friends, if you follow God's advice and his instructions, you'll always come on top. You'll always be on the winning side and never on the losing side. But let's look at a few things real quick. The first thing we see is the first part of verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The word sign here in this verse means a mark. It also means a signal. Watch this. A miracle. God says, I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to give you a miracle that I am there with you. Now, what is this sign? What is this miracle? The Bible says in the next part of the verse, behold, a virgin, the Bible says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's the mark. That's the miracle. What do you mean, preacher? Here is a woman who is not just a young woman, but a virgin. A virgin is someone who has never been intimate with another person. She was a virgin, my dear friends. She had never been with Joseph. And therefore, for her to have a child would be a miracle. That's why there's so many that are trying to discredit the fact that she was a virgin. In some of the Bibles today, and some of the versions, they'll put in there, not virgin, but young woman. Some people don't remember, that changes everything. If you say that a young woman is going to have a child, okay, well, young women have children all the time. But when you say a virgin, that means somebody, my dear friends, that's never been touched before by a man. And my dear friends, that in itself is a miracle. Now, I know they're trying to do all kind of chemical things and tests and stuff today to have children. But you know what? It still takes a male and a female to have a child. There's no other way around it. It just ain't going to happen. Okay? You need a male and you need a female. But in our society today, it's trying to confuse a lot of stuff. But that's the trick of the enemy, to try to get us off course and to go down the wrong direction and down the wrong road. We have an enemy that's alive, friends, and he's real. I was reading the other day about a teacher that did not want to be addressed as she. I'm like, she's a female. And one of the kids was suspended because they called her a she. Today, you mark it down. It's going to be, and some of them are trying to get it passed now, that when a baby is born, you don't say him or her. Just baby. Because they don't know what their identity is yet. It don't take a rocket scientist, my dear friend. Chromosomes and all that other stuff. Some of y'all go to school. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Males and females do not have the same makeup, okay? I cannot, no matter how hard I don't want to anyway. But no matter how hard I would try, I can't have no child, okay? And I'm not going to have one. Listen, but anyhow, what I'm saying, though, is this, okay? Let's focus. But nonetheless, my dear friends, because my body is not able to do that. The Bible says that when God formed, let's go. Oh, y'all think I'm playing? Damn, making up stuff. Look what the Bible says in Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter number 1, 2, 3. Go over there, and by the time you get there, I'll be at the verse. But look at Genesis chapter number, I believe it's in chapter chapter number 1, verse 27. The Bible says this. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God, Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. What did he create? Male and female created he them. Friends, brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us it's male and female. There is no in between. It's male or female. Well, preacher, you're homophobic and all. Come on, stop it, y'all. Y'all know better than that. The Bible tells, listen, if a person is an alcoholic, what is he? You're judging. Shame on you for doing that. I can't believe you had Heather would do something like that. Wait a minute. If you are, you are, you are. Listen, my dear friends, when I was doing drugs, snorting cocaine, and somebody said to me, man, you snorting cocaine or doing drugs, I said, stop judging me. Well, I didn't say why you was doing it. Hello, somebody. But my dear friends, we live in a world today where everything's all, and they don't want you to say, everybody wants you to walk around like this. But the Bible clearly teaches us, my dear friends, that we're to warn those that are unruly. That's why society is crumbling and falling apart. And the main thing they do is attack the Word of God. He says in Isaiah, look what it says now, Isaiah 7 verse 14, he says this, my dear friends. He says, wait a minute, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now hold your place here and go with me over to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter number 2, I believe it is. Matthew chapter number 2. Now look what the Bible says here in Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Matthew 1, verse 18. The Bible says this, God's word says this, in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. That means she was promised to him, like being engaged. Watch it, y'all. The Bible is very clear. God is awesome. Before they came together. They had not been intimate yet. Before they came together, she was found with child of who? The Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, watch it, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now. Oh, this was done that it might be fulfilled. Here we go. Which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying this. Now he's referencing back to Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted what? God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and watch it, y'all, watch it now, watch it, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. God said, I'm going to send you a sign. I'm going to send you a miracle. There shall be a virgin. They shall give birth to a child. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Then we fast forward it several hundred years later, my friends, and we see that Mary is pregnant with a child. And Joseph's like, it ain't mine. So I guess I'm going to have to put her away privately. But then the spirit, the angel of the Lord came to him. Said, Joseph, everything's all right. God is in the midst of this. And you know what Joseph did? He took her as his wife. But he never was intimate with her until after the birth of Jesus Christ. And then they had several sons and daughters afterwards. But my dear friends, here is the prophecy being fulfilled. God with us. Emmanuel. Now you may say, what's the big deal with that? To know that God is with us means, my friends, we're not by ourselves. We have a Savior that came, my dear friends, to walk with us every step of the way. You say, well, preacher, sometimes I can't sense His presence. But just because you and I cannot sense His presence does not mean, my friends, He's not still there walking with us every step of the way. You've seen the painting of how there was a two footprints in the sand, and then all of a sudden there was one set of prints that was in the sand, and the person was asking, wait a minute, why God, when we get to heaven, why God, was there two sets when things were going okay, but then all of a sudden when things were going bad, there's only one set of footprints. Why did you leave me? Why did you have me by myself? And then God says, wait a minute, you weren't by yourself. That was me carrying you and helping you down the road, amen, for you couldn't carry yourself. There was a God that was carrying you. That's why God says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your cares upon Him because He careth for you. He says, give me all your anxiety. Give me all your worry because I'm concerned about you. And He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Go with me over to Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13, and look at verse number 5. Just a few thoughts I want to share with you. No outline here, just a few thoughts. Look what it says in Hebrews 13 And verse number five, the Bible says this. It says, let your conversation, let your manner of life, your character, be without covetousness. And be content with such things as they have. Preacher, you got the wrong scripture. It's the right scripture. Don't cover the other folks' stuff. Anyhow, okay, that's another message. But he goes on to say this. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. The word never, my dear friends, means here, that means it is a strong negative word, strengthening word, saying I will never, there's no way, it's a double negative. He said, I will never leave you, I will not desert you, I will not forsake you, I will not abandon you, I'm going with you all the way. You know what, we got folks down here, they may abandon you, you might have family members that might abandon you, those you thought that loved you, that might abandon you. You may wake up one morning and somebody's gone and you're all by yourself. But my dear friends, just remember that God said, no, not me. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm going with you all the way and not part of the way. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! How about you? That helps me sleep well at night. Helps me sleep good at night to know that I'm not by myself. I've not been deserted. We've had folks to walk out of our lives. But not God. God says, Emmanuel, God is with us all the way. Matter of fact, he didn't come to hurt nobody. I said, are you sure? Yeah. Let me give you this. Go with me over to Luke chapter 9 and verse number 51. Now, we're going to see here some folks. They remind me of Baptist people. But you'll see what I'm saying in a few moments. But look what it says in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Bible says this. We're almost done. So, Bible says this. Verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Watch this, y'all. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. The Samaritans said, we don't want you here because you're going there down there to the Jerusalem. Now remember what we have here. You have Samaritans who are also part Jew. But they're not like the folks who are full-blooded Jew. There was some prejudice that was going on there. And so Jesus is about to stop here. And they said, you going down there too? No, you can't stay here. We don't want you here. Now watch this. Now, this is the Baptist part I'm talking about. Verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, this sounds like Baptist here. Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elisha did? See, that's how good Baptist brethren do. What we do, we use some scripture to back up what we want to destroy somebody. You know? Lord, I mean, they go, Lord. Don't you want to practice what they practiced in the Old Testament and call down fire from heaven to consume them because they won't receive you. Just burn them up. Now, we got Baptist folks do that. Christian people. You don't want Jesus? That's fine. I can go to hell then. Listen, I've heard people say stuff like this now. Oh, you're going to burn, baby, burn. You rejoicing over that? Well, they don't want you. No, you're mad because they don't want you. Okay? They wouldn't receive what you had to say, and they attack you, whatever. And you say, well, that's fine. That's fine. God's going to, everything you touch, God's going to, he's going to. And that's what they said right here. Yeah. Same thing. I wish you got that from. But look what it says right here. It says here in verse number 55. But he turned and rebuked them. We're talking about James and John. We're talking about the ones who was in the inner circle. These were the ones that was hanging right there with Jesus. He rebuked them. And watch what he said. Ye know not what... See, sometimes people... Let me pause for a second. Sometimes people be thinking Jesus walking around going, oh, it's all right. It's all right. But look what he says here. This is Jesus talking. Jesus said in this verse, ye know not what manner of spirit you are. Now, he's saying, they ain't the Holy Ghost. You got the wrong spirit, James and John. Your spirit's not right. And then the Bible says, he says this, for the Son of Man is not, the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Listen, my dear friends. Jesus, I didn't come to destroy men's lives. I've come to save people. I've come to help people. I've come to rescue people. And my dear friends, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That should be our same mindset, not to have folks destroyed, but to rescue people. Jesus trying to help people. Yeah, well, they doing all that stuff that they doing. You was doing some stuff too. You forgot. See, once we get rescued from stuff, then we forget. Then all of a sudden, we see somebody else and be like, They ought to know better. Yeah, we should have known better too. But see, we have forgot. And we're so far removed from that. So now we look at them and say, you just need to get right with God. We need to get right with God too. But now we wanted, we taught this in our Sunday school class this morning, but we wanted mercy. We want grace. I mean, if I hit my toe, I want y'all to be going, oh, Pastor, you all right? You all right? But now what if somebody else hits theirs? Well, you ain't see that big old pulpit sitting there? What's wrong with you? Can't you see? Wait a minute. The Bible is teaching us God's not trying to hurt. God's trying to help. To me, one of the saddest things is another believer leaving out that word, looking, should say two now, but looking to wound. What pain of my sister? Now, why did I want to wound her? Why would I want to hurt her? If nothing else, I want to help her. And we are in the family of God, blood brothers and sisters. We've been bought with the same blood that Christ paid on Calvary for all of us. We're all part of the same family. When somebody falls down, don't go. No. Come by and say, let me help you up. Now, they might do this. You know, come for me, Patrick. And they might do this. They be down there. He's trying to help her up. I don't want your help. Let me go. Let me go. Now, then we'll have to say, well, I'm going to let you go. Wait a minute. That's the wrong mindset. Instead, maybe I am pushing him away. But he should still be saying, you know what? Brother, I'm here to help you, man. I know what you're going through. I've been there. I know others who have been there. I want to help him. He reaches out a hand. I'm like, let me go. And he's like, man, let me help. He puts his arms around me. And I'm like, okay. Listen, hey, thank you, brother. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. And when somebody sees the sincerity that's coming from our hearts, not the, well, I got to love them. That's not what the Bible's talking about. I got to love them. No, that's not what he's talking about, friend. Because that's saying, I don't want to love you, but I got to. You still ain't loving them. Because when you love somebody, there's something on the inside. It's like, you want to help them. We were singing a song a few moments ago, In All Things. And as we were singing that song, and I had to stay focused. I got to looking around the auditorium, and I began to look at different faces and different individuals. And I know some of your stories. And I know some things that some of you guys are going through and your background. And I'm like, Lord, I want to help them. I want to encourage them. And my heart begins to hurt for them. It begins to ache. Listen, my dear friends, it should not be. Well, you know what? They're getting what they deserve. Jesus says right here, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. To save them. He said, I'm not here to hurt you. And what he did instead, he just went to the next village. That's what he did. But he ain't go, he wasn't like that. Listen, friends, God is with us, and he's here to help us every step of the way. Let me give you this. Look at Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew 28. Look at this. We're done. The Bible says this. We're talking about Emmanuel. God is with us. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say in the names of the Father and the names of the Son. It only says this, in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says this, baptize them in the name. That word name means authority. So it says, baptize them in the name, the authority of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Because they all have the same authority because they're all one. He goes on to say in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Here it is, guys. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus says to us, he's with us all the way to the end. When Paul was about to lose his life, he says, look at it real quick. I'm sorry. Look at it real quick over in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I want to read these exact words. I want you to see this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Now listen, he can only say this because God was with him. He can only say these words because Jesus was with him. The Bible says in verse number 6 that Paul says this in verse number 6. He says, for I'm now ready. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6. For I'm now ready to be offered. That word offered, that means to be poured out. Poured out in a violent death for the cause of God. For I'm now ready to be offered in the time of my departure. The word departure here means to set sail, to unloose. That's how Paul looked at it. Paul says it's time for me to set sail here, folks, in a little bit. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand, it's present. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, no, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I'm now ready to depart. I'm ready. And I believe when it came time for them, and I believe they cut off his head, what historians say, when it came time for Paul's life to be ended, I don't believe he was afraid. He says, I'm ready. Let me ask us a question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because one day, unless Christ comes back first, every single person in this room, every single person is watching right now on the internet is going to die. The question is, are you ready? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Not I think I know. Do you know? So I don't know if I can know. Listen, I know that's my wife. I ain't got to think about it. How do you know that's your wife? I was there. You were there when? When we got married. I was there. I know she's my wife. There's not a duplicate. There's not a double or a double. What's that thing called? Yeah, him too. You know, so that's her. When you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never, ever be the same. You will not be the same. You can't be the same. You cannot enter into his presence and leave the same way that you came. When Paul met Jesus on Damascus Road, I mean, the light him, he threw them down. I mean, he was blind. He couldn't. Listen, you cannot be the same and know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be a difference and there's going to be a change. But if you hear this morning, you say, preacher, I'm the same person I was the day that I trust Christ my Savior. Nothing changed whatsoever. Then, my dear friend, based upon the word of God, you've not been saved. Because the Bible says that we become a new creature. A new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And we need to know where we're going when we leave this earth. And then the good part is this. Once you know that too, then you also need to remember this. That God is with us. How long? To the end. When you feel like he's not there, he's still there. Because guess what? Sometimes you don't feel like your mom and daddy love you, but they still do. Sometimes you'll feel like God's nowhere around, but he's still there. As a matter of fact, let's go a little bit farther than that. He's inside you. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He indwells us. So guess what? No, you can't run. You can't run from him. I don't matter where you're at, my friends. And you might be in the deepest, darkest sin that you can think of and that you can imagine. But if you are saved, my dear friends, God is still right there with you. And you know, oftentimes he's convicting you. He said, don't do it. Don't go there. Don't grab that cup. Don't grab that bottle. Don't go with that person. And we've got a choice to make. And based upon our choice, we'll also determine what's going to happen afterwards. Now, like what one preacher said, you might be able to choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. Think about that for a second. You may choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequences. Sometimes we think, well, I'd rather just go, God knows how to get our attention. Let's go back over there to Isaiah. We're done. Isaiah 7, verse 15. The Bible says this. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, a miracle. Behold, the virgin shall conceive, be pregnant, and bear, begat a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. I want to leave one thing this morning, friends. No matter where you go, God is with you. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. I've tried my best to give out the message you gave it to me. And I just pray and ask God to help encourage someone. And perhaps, God, there's somebody here today that might feel like they're all by themselves. And the feeling, yes, sir, Father, the feeling of loneliness is real. The feeling of loneliness is real. But, Father, help remind us that we are not truly alone, that you're right there with us. Perhaps, God, there's somebody that wants to talk to you about this. Perhaps, God, there's someone that wants to pray for someone who's battling with this. Perhaps even right now, during this time of the year, somebody's battling with depression or anxiety or discouragement. Just a lot of thoughts going through their mind. Nobody really even knows what they're thinking. But, God, you know. And they just want to talk to you about that. I pray, God, they come this morning. Perhaps, God, there's somebody here this morning to say, thank you, Lord, that you're with me, that I'm not by myself. I might be about to face some tough days ahead of me, but it's good to know, Father, that you're right there with me. And they just want to come and say thank you. And then, Lord, perhaps there's somebody here this morning say, you know what? I'm not sure I'm saved. I need to get it settled. I pray, God, they come and talk to me or someone else they have confidence in, and we will show them from the Word of God how to know for sure. But, God, whatever we need to do this morning, I pray, God, we come. Let's not be embarrassed nor afraid nor ashamed, but talk to you. Because you really do want to talk to us. For it's your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all